Yeah, so here we go, folks. We're going to just dive into this. This is the message that the Lord gave me to share with you today. So I want to just start a little bit by reminding us that our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Not against flesh and blood. And so there's issues out there, and those issues deeply affect you and deeply affect me. And then there's issues in our lives. Well, those issues can become quite a heavy burden for me. Ephesians 2 tells us to bear one another's burdens. And Paul communicated, he said, you know, I've been beaten, I've been shipwrecked, I've been stoned and left for dead, but in addition to that, I carry the burden for the churches. And he said, who in the church is weak without me feeling it? Who sins without my intense concern? And who is led astray that I do not burn with anger? So I come today carrying some burdens, and I feel like the Lord is going to help us to share these burdens today. Bear one another's burdens. There's three things that the enemy, I feel, is trying to do out there and in here. He's trying to distract, discourage, and divide. Distract, discourage, and divide. And one of the ways he does that is, you know, we all have concerns. We all have things we're praying about. But he wants to take one of those things and magnify it, that it becomes the main thing. That it becomes so important to us that we're even willing to push aside previous commitments and promises that we've made. He'll take important things and make that the one and only thing that we have to take care of. But I was reminded that, what did Jesus say were the most important things? He said that you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you love others as you love yourself. So that made me pause and think, boy, there's a lot of concerns, there's a lot of issues, there's a lot of things going on out there. How would Jesus act? And I know they've sort of commercialized the whole idea of what would Jesus do. But you know, that's a good question. If Jesus walked into this situation or that situation, what would Jesus do and what would Jesus say? That's what I've been trying to concentrate on. And as I was praying for all of you about a week ago, and I was praying for things happening out in our world, and I didn't know it, but Marty was awake in the middle of the night praying for me. And so I went to bed that night, and as I was going to bed, I heard Peter walking on the water. Well, I've always loved that picture, but it was like, okay, Peter walking on the water. And when I woke up in that morning, the thought was still there, what did Peter have to do to walk on the water? So I thought, okay, well, Lord, you're going to have to tell me what you're doing with this. And as I started typing an email to all of you, I realized it was turning into a prophetic word. It was what the Lord was saying to us as a body that we needed to do about keeping our focus on Him. So, Pastor Kurt, would you like to be Jesus today? Does everybody think that that's a good choice? If you want to come out and be Jesus today? I just felt like I was to demonstrate this. Then we're going to jump into the Word. I do actually have a message from the Word, but I felt like I needed to have some introduction, have some point of reference for this Word. So, Jesus, you're out there in the middle of the storm.
Okay.
All right, everybody, here's Jesus in the middle of the storm facing me. There he is. And I know, see, he likes surprises. He doesn't mind them, and he's very impromptu, so I didn't even tell him I was doing this. I thought that'll get him back for the times he does and says stuff to me, and I don't like surprises. So Peter was in the midst of this storm, and there were waves, and there was wind, and there was enough that the boat was actually starting to sink. Remember the story? And Jesus comes walking toward them in the storm, and he tells Peter to step out of the boat. So Peter does that. He steps out of the boat. I'm on the water. Wow, this is interesting. But I'm looking at Jesus, right? So, we don't know exactly what happened that Peter started to sink, but we know he got his focus off of Jesus. So, I just had a couple thoughts that I feel like relates to all these issues out there. So, you know what, guys? Now, here's the guys in the boat right here behind me. I'm pretty sure this is a nor'easter. And when we get a nor'easter, you all know how nor'easters go. They last long, and they're much stronger than a normal storm. I'm pretty sure that that's what this is. And Peter starts sinking. And then he gets his eyes back on Jesus. Oh, hi, Jesus. And he's on the water again. And then he's looking this way. Boy, those clouds are really dark over there. You know, I think the storm is going to circle. You know how thunderstorms circle? I think it's coming back, and I'm not even too sure that I don't see a twister. There might be a twister coming over there. Hey, James, do you see that? Uh-oh. And then Peter goes back down into the water again. Then he turns, oh, there's Jesus. And if we are so focused on here, and we're so focused on there, and we're not focused on here, we're going to sink down right in the middle of the storm. And the waves can go over us, and the winds can go over us. And Peter finally realized, okay, I got my eyes off of Jesus. Where am I? I'm now down in the water. He was actually better in the boat. Now he's sinking in the water, and what's he do? He yells, help! And Jesus goes, well, too bad you had your eyes off of me. No. Okay. Jesus immediately reaches down, grabs his hands, and pulls him back up. Thank you, Jesus. I appreciate you showing up today. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, Ephesians 6:12. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Our fight is not with flesh and blood enemies, but against rulers of evil, against dark powers, against evil spirits of wickedness. So who should we together and individually be fighting against? We just heard. Is it one another? No. Is it other humans who see things differently than we do? No. Is it someone of another race or people of other cultures? No. Unbelievers, that's the group. No. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. But the enemy would like us to focus on others. He would like us to focus and argue with others. Because if we're fighting with others, then we're leaving him and his rulers alone. What's the enemy come to do? Remember that verse? Steal, kill, and destroy. So he wants us to steal from others. He wants us to kill others. He wants us to destroy what God wants us to do and build together. So, we want to look at a story in Scripture today. The Word tells us that stories were written down in here for us to learn from them. We can take what happened to Israel and we can say, we can learn from that so that we don't make the same mistakes. So, God had a plan. God always has a plan. He has a plan for us as individuals, for us as families, and for us as a church. So his plan here was the nation of Israel had been taken captive hundreds of years earlier. At that point, they had torn down the walls, they had torn down the temple, and they had taken them captive to Babylon. Well, the temple had already been rebuilt. That had happened. But Nehemiah was concerned about the walls. And so Nehemiah went to the king, the heathen king, the king of the nation who originally had taken them captive, who had torn down the walls and burnt the stones, and he went to him, and he sent him back to build up the walls again, and even sent supplies and armies with him. So what was God's plan? God's plan was that the people who were living there would join together and build the walls back up. Sound like a good plan? Well, if you were living back then, cities were fortified. Cities had a way of keeping people out that they needed to keep out and keeping safe the people that were in. And so these Israelites were living just exposed. There were no walls. Nothing to protect them from enemies, from robbers, from rooters, from people traveling in to take advantage of them. And so Nehemiah was sent back to build up the walls. Well, was everybody happy about that? It says that the authorities that were set in Babylon, set in place by Babylon to rule over that city and region, were not happy that somebody had come to help the people. Sanballat and Tobiah were very displeased. The enemy and his forces are very displeased when we're working together to complete plans that God has given us. So Nehemiah surveyed the situation, considered what needed to be done, and he said to the people, "This is a bad situation. Let's come together and rebuild the wall." The key word there is come together to rebuild the wall. One person couldn't do it, one ministry couldn't do it, one family couldn't do it. Let's come together and rebuild the wall. So what did his opponents and enemies do at this point? They said, "We don't think you have the authority to do this. We don't think you have the right to do this." Well, how many of you know the enemy would love for us to still consider ourselves slaves to sin? Would still like us to consider ourselves separated from God? He doesn't want us to realize that we're sons and daughters and we do have rights and we do have authority in the kingdom to get things done. So the enemy tried to convince them, "You don't have the right or the power or the authority to do this." They ignored the enemy and started working together as families, neighbors, as ministry groups, each group being equally important. So if you're building a wall and you have that wall 90% done, how big of a hole would there have to be in the wall for enemies to come in? Just wide enough for 100 soldiers to squeeze in, even if they had to turn sideways. So that's why Paul over and over and over again stressed, each person has a ministry, each person has a gift, each person is a part of the body, and you need to be doing your part. Because if 90% of the people are doing their part and 10's not, you've now left a gap in the wall for the enemy to come in. So, how did the enemy react to them working together and trying to accomplish this? Now, it came about that when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became furious and very angry and mocked the Jews. Remember what the enemy likes to do? Distract, discourage, and divide. Distract, discourage, and divide. So he spoke in the presence of his brothers and the wealthy men and said, "What are you feeble Jews doing? Do you think you can restore it by yourself? Can you finish it in a day? Who can turn these stones of dusty rubble? Who can revive these stones and dusty rubble that were burnt?" Now Tobiah was near him and he said, "What are you building? Even if a fox would jump on that wall, it's going to fall down." The enemy would love to discourage us and to have us focus on what's not done instead of what is being done. The enemy was now questioning their resolve, their ability, and their strength. Aren't you glad the last few Sundays that we talked about our power doesn't come from him? I mean, from us. Our power doesn't, strength isn't within us, but it's him. It's the Holy Spirit that comes and empowers us and enables us to accomplish all that he's given us. Because oftentimes the project God gives us to do is bigger than we ourselves can do. So what did the people do? Well, they could have said, Nehemiah, you know what? We sort of think the enemy's right. This project's bigger than us. We can't do it. We're just going to quit. We started it, but we don't think we can finish it. Is that what they did? No, it said they continued to work together as family groups and as ministry groups and as individuals, and they each did their part so that we built the entire wall to half its height. And Nehemiah said this was accomplished because the people had a heart to work. Wow, I'd love for the community to say that about us. You know, Christian Life Community Church is out here at Faith and Fun Days, and they're out at Capital Area Dream Center, and they're helping here and helping there, and they're getting things done for the Lord because they have a heart to work together. He likes to cause distraction and discouragement. Discouragement means you've lost your courage. Discouragement means you've lost your courage. So let God come and bring back if you need to be encouraged, which is the opposite of discouraged. The opposite of distraction is what? It's focus, which is why we had the illustration with Jesus. Sometimes in the middle of a battle, we're looking everywhere but Jesus. The enemy would love us to be distracted, but we need to focus on Jesus, what he's doing and what he's saying. The third D was divide. Boy, he loves to do that, doesn't he? He loves to cause disunity. He loves for us to say, well, you know, that group of 30 people over there, they're much more important than I am. They're getting much more work than I'm doing because I'm only here with one other person. I don't know that I want to join with them because I'm not as important with them. Or maybe they're building the wall a little different than I would build the wall. Does that really matter? Just build the wall. Okay? Don't let the enemy divide us. So now their enemies said, well, let's join together and attack them. I think at some point the enemy has decided, let's join together and attack them. So what was the people's response? They prayed and posted guards. I love that. They prayed and they posted guards. So when our enemies attack us, we need to have a spiritual response and a practical response. Let's listen to what Nehemiah did. When I saw the people's fear, I rose and spoke to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people. Don't be afraid of them. Remember, the Lord is great and awesome. And fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wife, and your houses. When our enemies heard that we knew their plan and that God was frustrating their plan, then each of us returned to the wall, each one to his work. From that day on, half of the servants carried on the work while the other half carried spears. In other words, half did the praying, half did the spiritual response, half did the guarding. Half of my servants held spears and shields and bows and breastplates. Those who were rebuilding the walls and those who carried the burdens took their load with one hand and carried a weapon in the other. As for the builders, each wore a sword girded at his side. What's the word? What's the sword? The Word of God, right? And what did Jesus say? Remember Pastor Van shared that with us last week? Jesus said, it's written. It's written. It's written. I saw the nobles and the officials and the rest of the people, and I said to them, the work is great and extensive, and we are separated from one end of the wall to the other. If you hear the sound of the trumpet, let's get there. Our God will fight for us. In other words, what they did is half the people kept doing the work. The other half of the people were the backup. They were praying and they were guarding and they were watching. But occasionally, the enemy would notice that one point of the wall looked weak. And so as the enemy approached or as their spies approached, the person there either blew a trumpet or yelled that they needed help. And what happened? Everybody immediately surrounded and came to help that person in need, came to help strengthen that weak spot. And I think that's why it's important for us that if we need help, we yell for help, like Peter did in the water. And we let others know that we'd like extra prayer, or that we have maybe a practical need when they can come together and help. Remember, when I am weak, He is strong. I am weak, He is strong. So then it tells us next that there was some issues that arose about taxes. Excuse me. And about food. You know, if the enemy can't threaten us or scare us into stopping the work, then he'll cause something to become an issue. And it almost divided them. They came to the leader and they said, well, some of the people are doing this and some of the people are doing that and we're not getting enough food and they're not paying enough taxes. He would love to have us choose sides and become divided. But Nehemiah's response was, I'm doing a great work and cannot come down. Why should the work stop? In other words, I'm not going to lose focus. I'm not going to allow the enemy to win by causing division or disunity. And Nehemiah says, okay, look, we're recognizing that the enemy is trying to cause disunity. And what do we do? He said, let's cry out to God. Are you catching a theme here? The enemy's threatening. Let's pray. We're tired and can't quite complete the work. Let's focus on Jesus. There's issues that divide us. Let's cry out to God. Definitely a theme there. The result, it says, the Lord came and strengthened our hands. So what was the conclusion then? It came about when all our enemies heard of it, that they had built the wall to half its height. They lost their confidence. Yay. See, we can get to the point where we're working together, where we're focused on Jesus, where we're asking Him to give us strength, and the enemy can say, you know what? It's just not worth my while to come against those people at Christian Life Community Church, because every time I do, they pray. Every time I do, they have new resolve to join together and get this work done. Every time I do, they say, God, give us more strength. They lost their confidence, for they recognized that this work had been accomplished with God's help. Yay! Don't you want that to be the report that we can say we accomplished it with God's help? So, our enemies are not other people. The enemy wants to distract. He wants to cause us to lose our focus. The enemy wants to discourage us. The enemy wants to divide us. Are we going to let the enemy win? We have a choice, don't we? Just like they did. They could have said, this is too much work. This is too much effort. I'm too tired. Somebody over there is not doing their part. If they're not doing their part, I'm not doing my part. All of those kind of things would have let the enemy win. So we need to refocus on Jesus. If we're feeling discouraged, we need to say, Lord, encourage my heart. If we're feeling weak, we need to say, God, I can't do this on my own strength. There's been times when I've prayed that, Lord, I just can't pastor on my own strength. And I can almost hear Him chuckling. When did I ever ask you to try to do that? Oh. Yeah, good reminder there. Good reminder there. And then we have to choose to not listen to the lies of the enemy. Boy, he loves to whisper lies to us. He kept trying to come around, and at one point he was yelling the lies out so that just not the leaders would hear it, but that all the people would hear the lies, and some of them would believe the lies. But we have to resolve to stay united, to work together, united in purpose, united in vision, and united in relationship. So that's our choice. The enemy would like us to give in to distraction, discouragement, and division. But we can choose focus, encouragement, and being united. Yay, what sounds like a better group of three to you? All right. So I just want us to pray about this. And thank you for letting me share a challenging message with you this morning. And helping me to pass on some of the burdens I'm feeling to the Lord. Next Sunday, we are going to be back together at 10, just one service, okay, for Father's Day. We are going to have communion, a little bit differently than normal, but we are going to celebrate communion. But I want us to just pray about these three things today. And you know, more than likely, because the enemy can discern our weaknesses, there's only one of these that's affecting you today and not all three. But who cares if it's all three? Isn't God bigger then? Even if it is all three that we're dealing with? So let's start with praying about distraction. So Father God, we come to you today and we realize there are so many things going on. So many things going on out there in the world. So many things going on in our own personal lives. So many things going on just in our communities. Now, boy, it is so easy to get distracted, to look at the waves, to look at the storm, to look at the threat, to look at what may happen, to look at the water in the boat, and to not realize that you're bigger than all of that. To not lift our eyes and look at you. So Jesus, if we've been dealing with distraction, if we've been having our eyes focused on things other than you, our time, our energy focused on things other than you, Father, today we just ask that you would forgive us. And Jesus, just like Peter, we again have to take our eyes off of the waves and the wind and the storm. We have to lift our focus and get it on you. We don't want to drown in the midst of this storm. We don't want to sink and get caught up in this storm. We want to focus on you, Jesus. So we focus on you today by thinking of your faithfulness, of your promises, of the things that are written in your word. Jesus, we think about the miracles that you accomplished. And we realize that you are much bigger than all of these concerns and all of these issues. There is nothing impossible with you. Nothing impossible with you. And we realize two words and that storm that seemed so monstrous, seemed so overwhelming, was so occupying our thoughts and our emotions, was gone. You said, "Be still." And the disciples were so amazed. They're like, "Who is this that he can speak against these storms and they be gone?" Help us to realize today that you are bigger than, that you are bigger than, that your power is greater than, and there is nothing impossible with you. So we refocus on you today. And then, Father, some of us, just because of the length of this trial, just because of the length of this situation and other things that are now stirred up within our society and coming to the surface. We've become discouraged. We wanted to just say, enough's enough. I'm just going to give up. I'm going to quit. I'm going to just stay home. I'm going to just be concerned about me only and my family only. I don't want to hear about these situations anymore. And we've become, we've lost our courage to battle. We've lost our courage to fight. We've lost our courage to build together. We've lost our courage to do the work. And Father, as we confess that to you, we ask that you would encourage us. You came to Joshua and you said, "Fear not." And he was able to receive courage. Courage to go into a new land. Courage to fight enemies that seemed overwhelming. Enemies who were so much larger. Enemies who had so many more resources than he did in his army. And yet you encouraged him. So Father, we ask today that you would encourage us. Encourage us. And then Father, we do not want to allow the enemy to win with division. We do not want the enemy to allow there to be disunity. We do not want the enemy to come and cause differences to become such that we can no longer work together. You said that where there is unity, you command your blessing. And we want to be living in your blessing. And so we ask today that you would forgive us in any way that we've allowed these things to divide us, to cause disunity. And we commit afresh and anew to work together. I don't have to do someone else's part. I only have to do my part. And that's what you're calling each of us to do. I've given each of you an assignment, says the Lord. You carry out your assignment. I've gifted each of you. You operate in your gift. You give the body your gift. You step into your function. And so, Father, we were reminded today that even if only 10% of us are not doing the work, that we've allowed a hole for the enemy to come in. So we pray today that you would allow us to refocus, be re-encouraged, and be recommitted to work together. Because you have a plan for us. You have things that you want Christian Life Community Church to accomplish for your kingdom, to accomplish in our communities, to accomplish in individual lives, to build strong believers, to build disciples of Jesus Christ. But we need to work together to accomplish that. And so today we resolve to work together again and to accomplish all that you want us to accomplish with your strength, with your strength, with your strength. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, folks, you're dismissed, and thank you so much.